Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Swinging along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet.
This is Sports Open Live.
Pelicans win.
On America's Sports Voice.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
KMOX.
Continuing on here on a Wednesday evening, my name is Matt Pauly, 1 hour down, one more to go. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, and make sure that it's actually me that you're tweeting at and not somebody else. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk some NHL hockey with Dan Rosen. He's going to join us at 7:45, 7:50-ish as we do wrap up the program with him. We'll talk some Missouri football coming up later on this hour as well. But want to get into the Cardinals. They make a small move today, and more than anything else, they're just kind of increasing the competition for a utility role during spring training. They have acquired from Cleveland for cash considerations an infielder by the name of Jose Firmin. He is somebody who was considered the top defensive infielder in Cleveland's organization in 2019. That's according to the Baseball America number. So he's a glove-first player. This past year at AAA Columbus, hit .215, had 6 home runs, 11 doubles, 31 RBIs in 90 games. So he's not going to do anything spectacular offensively. He might do something spectacular defensively. He does have a good approach at the plate. He was able to come up with 42 walks, and he was also hit by 9 pitches. So his on-base percentage is at least respectable compared to a batting average that's not very good. Again, this is more than this is a guy that you bring in and can compete for a job, a utility infielder job at spring training. And there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen with this roster. He was set to become a minor league free agent. He was not going to be added to the Cleveland 40-man roster. So with that, he would have become a minor league free agent. So what the Cardinals did is by acquiring him, again, for the cash considerations, they get in front of everybody else who might have wanted to sign him, and they're able to hold on to him because they put him on the 40-man roster, something that Cleveland was not willing to do. So that's why this move is made. If he becomes a minor league free agent, he's free to sign with any organization and could have signed a minor league deal if nobody was going to offer him a 40-man deal. But he comes to the Cardinals. He's on the 40-man roster. Sometimes you make these kind of moves. You get somebody in the organization, and then you move on from them at some point in the offseason because a move that you make. And if you clear through waivers, a lot of times they can stick in the organization and not even be on the 40-man roster. So there's, even though he's on the 40-man right now on November 9th, there is no guarantee that he is going to be as the season goes along. So, or as the offseason goes along is the way to say that. Cardinals do have a number of things to figure out here. Free agency officially opens up tomorrow. Conversations are already taking place. The way it works is you can have some initial conversations basically right now, but in terms of talking money and getting agreements in place and things like that, that can't actually start until tomorrow. According to Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch, Cardinals are not going to make any qualifying offers to any of their departing free agents. That certainly is not a shocker. There's nobody out there that you would have thought would have gotten the qualifying offer. They have to make the decision on their 10 players who are arbitration eligible and whether or not they're going to tender them a contract. Really, the most likely player not to be tendered a contract would be Alex Reyes. Maybe you still sign him up for to sign him to a deal somehow if you can get something worked out. But that there's no guarantee of that. You don't tender him a contract. There's a very good chance that he's going to end up in another organization. It works out that way more often than not. Also thought it was interesting. So the GM meetings are going on right now in Las Vegas, and Derek Gould is out there covering it. And he mentioned some people that the Cardinals have already had some initial conversations with. Christian Vasquez is a free agent catcher, and reportedly the Cardinals have already met with his representation just to have kind of an introductory conversation. The belief is that they've also discussed with the representation for Wilson Contreras. Contreras was offered the qualifying offer from the Cubs, so he has to reject that, which he is fully expected to do, as he'll get a multi-year deal from some team out there. Maybe it's going to be the Cardinals. I don't think it's going to be the Cardinals, to be perfectly honest with you. He's a really good offensive player, and his bat would play really well in the lineup. I have a hard time believing that this organization and everything that they kind of believe in and stand for, and the good line of defensive catching that we have seen, not beyond Yadier Molina, going before he was even, whether it was Mike Matheny, whether it was Tom Pagnazzi, like we can go back. Like I have a hard time believing that they're going to bring in a guy like Wilson Contreras, who is clearly a bat first catcher, and leave something to be desired behind the plate. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they sit there and they look at the numbers and they look at the data and they look at Wilson Contreras and say, you know what, this guy, what he does with his bat is going to way more than offset anything that we might lose as a result of his defensive miscues and defensive inefficiencies. Maybe that's where they go on that, and that's certainly a possibility. I would be pretty surprised if Wilson Contreras ends up as a Cardinal. Also, according to Derek Gould, there has at least been conversations with the Oakland A's, as they are continuing to entertain conversations about Sean Murphy. I think if there's one guy that's maybe available on the market, Murphy is the guy who would probably be the best fit. It's going to be expensive to get him. It's going to be very expensive to get him. But Murphy seems like the best possible fit from a defensive standpoint, from an offensive standpoint. Everything that he does, if there's a way for you to go get a Sean Murphy, that seems to make sense. Gould also mentioned the Toronto Blue Jays. They are expected to trade at least one of their catchers. They have both Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen, who possibly could be moved. For Kirk, you get the 2 years of club control. Jansen, you don't have as much club control, so Kirk would be a little bit more expensive. Those are the names that have really been mentioned. We had Craig Mish on this program a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, is when Skip Schumacher was named the manager of the Marlins, and he mentioned Salvador Perez, which was a move I would be in favor of. But seems like the social media reaction to that was anything but positive. Most people seem to be against Salvador Perez. And also, there has been no reporting, there has been no indication that there has been any conversations happening between the Cardinals and the Royals. So the four, or I guess I should say the five individuals that were mentioned by Derek Gould today, Christian Vasquez in there, Wilson Contreras in there, Sean Murphy, and then the two Toronto players in Kirk and Jansen. Feels like there's a pretty good chance that one of those five players will end up as the starting catcher for the Cardinals this upcoming season. 314-436-7900. That's how you get in contact with us if you'd like to chat. That's what Judah has. John, hey, Judah, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing good.
I got to tell you, there's no way in the world that you can turn down Contreras. That's managerial malpractice. The guy's got some stuff on defense. He's decent on defense. I mean, quite honest, he didn't have that bad.
Hey, Judah, I hate to do this to you, and if you want to call back, feel free, but your phone line was cutting out there. So I am not turning off your take. Sometimes I get accused of that. I'm not, the phone was just a little bit off there. So if you want to call back, we can certainly continue that conversation about Wilson Contreras. Look, I get it. What he does from an offensive standpoint, that is a big bat right there in the middle of your order. But he's also not a fantastic defensive catcher. And there's a cost that goes along with that. If you sign a Wilson Contreras, he's going to help you win a lot of games. He's going to help you win a lot of games. But it's going to happen at some point in time where he's going to do something. There's going to be a mistake made. There's going to be a play that's not made behind the plate, and you're going to lose a game. And as the person who hosts the post-game show and who hosts the extra innings show and takes calls from folks, I know what the narrative is going to be. I know what many people in this fan base are going to think when that happens, and going to complain about the fact that you went with a guy who's offense first. Now let's be fair here. I'm the guy who's always saying don't bunt. I'm the guy that says bunting and doing other things like that don't help you in the long run, and that you don't score as many runs. And there's situations where you look at it and you go, well, what would happen if you put a bunt down? We'll continue this conversation in a moment. 314-436-7900. What should the Cardinals be looking for as they try to figure out who their top catcher is going to be next season? That conversation continues in just a moment. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Does it continue here on a Wednesday night on KMOX? The only time this week that we're going to be on at this time. We're done around 7 o'clock or so the next couple nights, including a special show on Friday, as we're going to be covering the MLS expansion draft. And the roster for City SC is going to become much clearer with, I believe it's 5 players who are going to be selected coming up on... That's going to go quick, by the way. It's going to start at 6, and it's going to be over by 6:30. But right now, we're talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball, talking about the catcher's position. This is based off an article that Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch and STL Today published today, saying the Cardinals have at least had initial conversations with the representatives of free agent catcher Christian Vasquez. Also, the Cardinals discussing the market for Wilson Contreras, and then the trade market out there, Sean Murphy, in addition to a couple Toronto catchers in there as well, and Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen. We got Judah back on the line. He called us a few moments ago, had a bad connection. Hopefully the connection is better. Hey, Judah, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, my apologies. I'm driving. There's a dead zone in my condo complex.
No worry. You are loud and clear right now.
Hey, I got to tell you, weigh the pros and the cons at the end of the day. Of everyone you mentioned, it's Contreras. The rookie, Toronto's not giving up rookie or Kirk. So the Jansen guy, they'll let him walk. The guy barely was over the Mendoza line all season. He's expendable. We don't want him. I mean, that's going from caviar to crap. Wilson Contreras in a Cardinals uniform, and the way the Cubs broke that team up and stuck it to those guys. I mean, he loved nothing more than them to win with us in that division. At the end of the day, we don't want Salvi. He's not leaving Kansas City. That's pie in the sky. The option out there for us to win and win now, and which one of these guys is going to be a defensive genius? Which one of these guys is going to be perfect? None of them. I'm taking Contreras all day. And Mo, if you're listening, it's managerial malpractice, brother. If you don't pull the trigger and you have a chance.
All right, Judah, appreciate it. I think Judah speaks for, I don't know if it's a majority, but I think it's a large percentage of Cardinals fans who really want to see Wilson Contreras. Sean Murphy is the better defensive catcher this past year, playing for a bad Oakland team. He hit .250, had a slug of .426, had an OPS of .759, 18 home runs, 66 RBIs. Baseball Reference doing a projection for his 2023, has him at a .238 average, 18 home runs, 62 RBIs, .735 OPS. So that's when you compare Sean Murphy to Yadier Molina's offensive numbers, Murphy is a big step up. Comparing him to Wilson Contreras, it's not as much of a step up, but Contreras would be the better offensive player, and Murphy is a little bit better defensively. Contreras, by the way, last year, his numbers hit .243, 22 home runs, 55 RBIs, an OPS of .815. His 2023 projection is .241, 19 home runs, 55 RBIs, and an OPS of .768. You know what? That's not that. Let's see. Okay, so his 2023 projection is a .768 OPS. The Murphy 2023 projection is a .735 OPS. So that's not that different. And Murphy is better defensively. I think if you just look at those projections, and if that's going to be what they're going to be next year, I think you can make the argument that Murphy makes more sense than a Wilson Contreras. Let's go to Rob, who has given us a call. Hey, Rob, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, in the history of the Cardinals, I mean, Mozeliak doesn't lay out a nine-figure contract for just anybody. I mean, they're very mindful of their money, and I think that's good management. But they're going for a big stick. They're going for a home run hitter. And I don't know who that is, and I just want to know what your thoughts were. If they're going to cut the big deal, if they've got the freedom in their budget now to do it, and also, will we see the same pitching staff next year, or will there be a significant add-on there, too? Thank you.
You bet, Rob. Appreciate the phone call. So you're talking about a $100 million contract. There's going to be some guys out there who get $100-plus million deals this year, most notably Aaron Judge, but other players, top-level players. I don't know if Jacob deGrom is going to get that. He's 35 years old. He might. You know, he probably... 4 years, 120, averaging out to about $30 million. Like that may be what you get with Jacob DeGrom. Trey Turner, maybe. There's been some rumblings about the Cardinals maybe being interested in Trey Turner. The shortstop market, this is a year because, you know, Mason Wynn, and there are some questions about whether or not he's going to stay as a shortstop. There's always a possibility that Wynn ends up in the outfield. But if the Cardinals believe in Mason Wynn as the next top-level shortstop in this organization, are you a little bit more careful this year in how much money you're going to spend at the shortstop position? There are a ton of shortstops who are available. Trey Turner is a free agent. Carlos Correa is a free agent. Xander Bogaerts is a free agent. Dansby Swanson is a free agent. I mean, all four of those guys are top-level, all-star caliber shortstops. Do you wait to see if one of those guys falls to you? Do you wait to see if maybe the three of them get signed and all of a sudden one of them who is trying to get a big money deal, you're getting close to spring training and they still haven't signed a deal, and maybe you give them a one-year deal that includes a player option or a one-year deal that has a club option with some sort of significant buyout in there? If that becomes available close to spring training, I guess that's a possibility. But when the four names that I just named, in Turner and Correa and Bogaerts and Swanson, like I just I don't think any of those guys are going to be waiting that long to sign their deals. They're too good. And the other question mark here, and I've talked about this a lot, and I will continue to talk about it. I'm so curious about what the market is going to look like this year, and if it's going to be fast moving or slow moving. Because last year's offseason doesn't count because they were counting down to the lockout. So teams were a little bit more aggressive in some of their big needs prior to the lockout. The year before that, you're right in the middle of COVID. So that's not really applicable. But then the previous two or three off seasons before that were really slow and salaries were being driven down. Salaries being driven down is a big reason that we had the extended time where they negotiated through a collective bargaining agreement. Players were trying to figure out ways to get owners to spend more money. Now, I don't know if you can really do anything to encourage free agent spending. We can talk about the salary floor. We can talk about raising the tax threshold, things like that. But what can you really do? Tomorrow is going to open up free agency. Major League Baseball free agency is going to open up tomorrow. And you know what that's going to sound like? It's going to sound like this. You're going to hear nothing. You're going to hear nothing. NBA free agency opens. My goodness, it's crazy. You got that legal tampering period, and then it just goes crazy. To a certain extent, the same way in the NFL. Now, the big difference is there's salary caps in those sports. So there's every player is trying to get theirs. Every player is trying to account for their piece of the pie before the pie's been eaten. Well, in baseball, if we're going to keep up with the stupid pie analogy, there's as many pies as you want. Nobody has to worry about, now teams will be limited in how much they can spend or will spend. The teams will be limited in how willing they are to spend. That's the better way to say it. But you're not really being truly limited by anything. And that results in a stare down, in a dance between players and teams as players wait. And sometimes you mark it wrong. You know what? We've seen this happen a few times where the player turns down the qualifying offer and then ends up not even getting deals or a deal that is worth what the qualifying offer was. And we've seen players sign one-year contracts, like after spring training has opened, after turning down the qualifying offer, where they end up making less money than what they were given in the qualifying offer. It's a gamble for some players to turn down the qualifying offer. It's not always an easy decision, and we do on occasion see players accept the qualifying offer. So there's a lot going on there. The question was, what player out there would the Cardinals give a contract that has a value of more than $100 million? And also the second part of his question was about the pitching staff. Well, I would actually bring those things together. I do want to see the Cardinals find a way to get a top-level pitcher. The starting pitching depth for the Cardinals is really good. It's really good. You got a ton of guys who can give you a chance to win every single night. And during a 162-game regular season, you know what? That's going to happen. You're going to win games with those guys. But you do need, I think we're learning each year more and more, you do need that high-level pitching to win in the postseason. And it's really important to have an ace-level, all-star caliber 1 and 2, and that's not something that the Cardinals had this past year. You know, not to completely repeat, so again, where I'm going to is Carlos Rodon. 30-year-old, lefty, maybe he's a name out there. You go get him. Is he worth a contract that has a total value of over $100 million? Maybe. I don't know how much they're going to be in. That's the other question. Like you have so much pitching depth. Do you question what kind of move you're going to make in the free agency, or maybe instead you try to make that move via trade And then you can also, in addition to maybe giving up some prospects or something, you can also trade off of your major league roster as well, because you don't want to just, when you've got that much starting pitching, you don't want to get to a point where you're forced to just move on from one of those guys for basically nothing. So to trade for a pitcher, to me, kind of makes more sense, because you've got some depth in there. You've got some kind of capital in there, player capital in there, that if you sign somebody, you might not be able to get anything for them, and that could turn into a little bit of a problem. So I don't know if that answered the question or not, but that's kind of the overall breakdown of where this team is at, certainly going into the offseason. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, that's the number to call. That is the number to text. By the way, got a text message. Projections don't mean squat, dude. Everybody's got we look at players and we try to project what they're going to do next year. Projections do mean something. Everybody looks, I'm going to go sign a guy who played at single A last year, and I'm going to give him the starting shortstop job, because projections don't mean anything. Of course they do. Projections are based off previous results. Projections mean a lot. So yeah, projections do mean something, dude. It's Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Swinging it along with the left. That's a grand slam.
This is Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
KMOX.
Sports Open Line continuing on. Have about 25 minutes left in the program. In about 10 minutes, we are set to be joined we're going to talk NHL hockey with Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com. So he's going to be joining us in just a few moments. Wanted to mention this. The Post-Dispatch put in an open records request for the terms of the new contract for Missouri football coach Eli Drinkwitz. And this is just a... this is another example of how just college athletics and where they're at right now and the things you have to do as an athletic department and as a university. We can all agree that Missouri is having a disappointing season. Their best win of the year was when they went to South Carolina, and that was a game where they really played well. Maybe their second best played game this year was when they almost upset Georgia. But there's been disappointment. They're sitting with four wins. They have Tennessee, New Mexico State, and Arkansas left on the schedule. Playing in Knoxville seems like a likely loss. Home against New Mexico State, a likely win. So they'll be at home against Arkansas on November 25th, likely to be playing for bowl eligibility. This is not the way the Tigers fans were hoping that the season was going to go down. Despite all of that, Eli Drinkwitz receives a contract extension. And I know a lot of people out there were kind of shaking their head and trying to figure out why he would be given a contract extension. Now, you are, as an athletic department and as a university, when you have a football coach who you are committed to, or even a football coach who you think you might be committed to, you have to keep them locked in. And there have been some signs for Missouri. They are recruiting at a high level. That is something that they really have not done during the SEC era of Tigers football, at least not since the very early part of their SEC era. But you could maybe even make the argument that ever. And this is their best recruiting that they've had in a long time. It is hard as a football coach to go recruit when other coaches out there can negatively recruit somebody and say, well, you don't want to go to Missouri because they're going to be looking for a new coach in a year or two anyways. So having a contract extension is largely about recruiting and just making sure that you don't have a coach that in any way, shape, or form looks like a lame duck. Getting a contract extension sometimes is connected to success, but other times it's just connected to, you know what, we think this guy might work out. We're going to give him every opportunity to work out. And in many ways, that's what this feels like. Now, he does get a significant raise. His salary is going to increase from $4 million this year to $6 million next year. And according to this open records request that the Post-Dispatch put in for, it's going to continue to go up on a year-by-year basis. And eventually, it's going to get to $7 million in the final season. That's going to make him the highest paid coach in the history of Missouri. To put that in perspective, Gary Pinkel, who was as successful as just about anybody in recent history, was making just over $4 million when he retired at the end of the 2015 season. So Drinkwitz is making a lot more money than that with this contract that he signed. His original six-year deal has been extended for two more years through the 2027 season. This is despite the fact that he is below 500 all-time at Missouri. Now, what a lot of people wonder about is the buyout. That's, and from each side, the buyout on if you do want to move on from him, if a year from now they're in the exact same situation where it's the middle of November and you're not sure if they're going to get bowl eligible, what is it going to cost to move on from him? And also, if he gets things really rolling and then he ends up leaving for another job, what is that going to look like? Well, here's the details on the buyout. If Missouri fires him, they have to pay him a $6 million just lump sum, and then they have to pay him 75% of what's remaining on his contract. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money, especially if they're going to make a move in the next year or two. So that tells them they're at least committed to him in the near term. At the same time, you always have boosters. If the boosters want to coach out, he's out and they pay for it, and that's just the way it goes. Now, if he does leave, this buyout is fully mitigated. What that means is his buyout is offset dollar for dollar based off his new salary. Only four other SEC head coaches, according to the Post-Dispatch, have contracts that are fully mitigated with offset language. So if he goes to another place, Missouri is going to get a lot of money in that buyout for him to go somewhere else. And again, that's money that would end up being spent by boosters at whatever school he happens to go to. So those are the details on what it looks like for Eli Drinkwitz. But he's making $6 million a year next year. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that from his perspective. Nice to get a raise of $2 million from one year to the next. All right, we'll go back to talking Blues hockey. They're trying to get things going. Dan Rosen is a senior writer for NHL.com. He will join us in just a moment as we start to wrap up this edition of Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
Sports Open Line does continue. The St. Louis Blues, it has been a struggle for them after winning the first three games of the year. They have lost eight in a row. All eight of those losses have come in regulation. That's the first time in franchise history that they've ever lost eight straight with all losses coming in regulation. It should also be mentioned they've lost every single one of those games by multiple goals. They're in the middle of playing 5 of 6 on the road, but they will be back at home tomorrow night for a matchup against the Sharks. We're very happy right now to welcome in a senior writer for NHL.com. He also hosts the Rink podcast, or the At the Rink podcast, I should say. He is Dan Rosen. Follow him on Twitter at DRosenNHL. Dan, thank you so much for your time this evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing all right. We're trying to figure out what the heck's going on with the Blues here in St. Louis. So from a national perspective, when you look at this team that had fairly high expectations and see that they've lost all these games in a row by multiple goals, what's your take on this team?
Well, there's a couple of things here that I think need to be pointed out, right? So if we just look at individuals, now, Ryan O'Reilly has 2 goals, and he has no assists. That's uncanny. Like, I would never, ever have bet on that being the case. And it's not that Ryan O'Reilly is, like, this big-time, all-world scorer. But 2 goals and like, no assists for a top centerman? That's pretty hard to believe. But worse yet, the minus 12. So That's bad. Jordan Kyrou, who lit it up last year, Jordan Kyrou's got 3 goals, and he's a minus 17. Like, that's, he's been on the ice for, like, almost half the goals against. When you look at it that way, they have been outscored 38-12 in this 8-game losing streak. That's minus 26. That's 3 goals a game. They've lost four times by four goals and twice by three goals. So what's wrong? Well, I mean, everything is, right? and that's the problem, is it's not just one thing you can pinpoint with St. Louis and say, well, if we fix this, we'll be all right. They're not defending. They're not defending hard. They're not generating offense. They can't keep the puck out of the net. They're not getting saves. I mean, they're goaltenders. You're looking at neither one of them are above 900 on save percentage. Both of them well above 3 in a goals against. So they're not getting saves. They're not getting the goalie to bail them out when you need it. And the calling card for the Blues since Craig Berube took over is they are one of the hardest teams to play against. But they're quite easy to play against right now. And when you're easy to play against in the NHL, you're going to lose. This is what's going to happen.
Doug Armstrong has said Craig Berube's not going anywhere. He said that to the team. So the next thing that can happen, because Armstrong is not somebody who generally just kind of sits around, is moves to be made. It's still early on in the season. Do you see a scenario where we start seeing the Blues making some significant moves?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because that is the dreaded vote of confidence. That's right. We've all seen it in the coach. And by no means am I going to sit here and say this is on Craig Berube, right? I mean, he didn't become a bad coach overnight. He didn't become a coach that couldn't lead this team to where it needs to go overnight. It's just you have to wonder if the message isn't getting through anymore. And that's what you hear about with coaches in the National Hockey League is the message getting through. I don't know. I'm not sure. It wasn't that long. We're coming up on 4 years, I think, when the Blues fired Mike Yeo and named Berube the interim coach. That was November 19th, 2018. And what'd they do? Well, they went on and won the Stanley Cup that year, right? So the playbook is out, and we've seen it happen before where the St. Louis Blues are really, really struggling in the first quarter of the season. They make that coaching change, and they take off, and it's a lot of the same pieces. Not all the same pieces, but a lot of them. But I don't want that to happen because I think Berube is a good coach. I mean, we were talking about this today on the NHL At the Rink podcast, and it's, if you're not going to listen to Craig Berube, who are you going to listen to? I mean, that guy's terrifying if you're not going to listen to him, and I say that with love because I think the world of Craig Berube, but how could his message not be getting through? I don't get that. And this is on the players. But unfortunately, in pro sports, when it's on the players, it can't be on all of them. So what happens is the coach goes.
So Ryan O'Reilly talked after the game yesterday. And to his credit, he keeps saying, I'm playing horribly. But he also said, we know what the problem is, but we don't have the answer. And to me, I thought that was really damning that he said that. Because what do you do with that? If you don't know what the answer is to a problem that how in the world do you get out of this?
You get out. It's a great point because that is a damning quote. We know what the issue is. We have no answer for it. That's wow. What are we doing here? But this might sound very, very simple and maybe even kind of, it's simple. Let's just say simple. Go out tomorrow and get an elite goaltending performance. That's what they need. Honestly, that's what they need. They need an elite goaltending performance from Binnington or Thomas Greiss. My guess is it'll be Binnington, against another last-place team. The San Jose Sharks are a last-place team. They have the same amount of wins as the Blues. They're 3-8-3, and the Blues are 3-8, right? They played 3 more games. They've lost in the shootout the last 3 games, the Sharks. Go out and get an elite goaltending performance, because all of a sudden, when that happens, guys all of a sudden get a little bit taller. They start to play a little bit better. A lot of times in the NHL, when players are not believing that their goaltender is going to make the save, it really does impact their play. And I wonder if that's starting also to creep in because, as I mentioned before, they're not getting the save. It's not on the goalies. I'm not saying it's all on the goalies, but they need an elite goaltending performance where a goalie, Binnington, stands up and says, guys, come on my back. and we're going to fix this thing right now. And then I think you can make it roll a little bit. But if you can't get an elite goaltending performance, then even though the guys might be playing a strong game, it might not be enough as is. So it's hard, and it's hard to build on that. They need an elite goaltending performance.
Last thing for Dan Rosen, as we have just a couple minutes left in the program. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this Bruins situation with Mitchell Miller. Now it's being told that they can't just rescind the contract, so they got to figure out how to work through that. It feels like a lot of mistakes were made all over the place on this.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. There's no question. What's most unfortunate, it is it's brought up for the victim. It's brought up a lot of bad memories, but you know, now there's new stuff he's dealing with, new hate he's dealing with, unfortunately, as people jump on this. That's the worst part about this whole thing. I think the contract situation, that'll get ironed out. The Bruins have been on record as admitting their mistake. Look, I don't know how that it came to this to be this way, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, I have all the information. I find it hard to believe that they didn't have the information they have now, but maybe they didn't, whatever it might be. They're trying now to walk it back, and they're trying to start down the path of doing the right thing in this situation. But unfortunately, what has happened is the victim is being victimized again, and he's having to live through this all over again. And that is the absolute worst part about this. So we can talk about the contract and what the Bruins have done and all that stuff, but my thoughts are really with the victim in this situation and unfortunately, him having to live through it again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good point, and that should be the thing that should be mentioned first off. Dan Rosen, senior writer for NHL.com, also co-hosting the NHL at the Rink podcast. Dan, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully, we can catch up with you occasionally during the course of the season.
Yeah, sure. Anytime. Thanks.
Awesome. There's Dan Rosen joining us here on Sports Open Line, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us as we do start to wrap things up on this edition of Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Wanted to mention this. There's no way to, like, segue to this. I try to end the show with, like, a funny, stupid story on occasion. So, again, no real easy way to do that. But I go to the gym today. I open up my gym bag. What did I do? I brought two separate gym shoes. They were not matching gym shoes. So I'm sitting there in the gym locker room looking down at my bag with mismatched shoes trying to figure out what I was going to do. And the first thought was, well, I'll just go home and I'll just get the matching shoe and that'll be better. However, I had my three-year-old daughter with me and I had just dropped her off for like a gymnastics class. So I wasn't going to go pull her out of her gymnastics class so I could go get a shoe. Matt Pajeski, if you were in my situation, what would have you done? Would have you worn the mismatched shoes?
Yeah, I would have just worked out in the mismatched shoes.
I did not wear the mismatched shoes. Here's what I was worried about. Like, if you ever talk to a chiropractor, they'll tell you if you have your wallet in your back pocket that you get totally screwed up because you're just like a little bit off. And I was so worried that if I worked out in mismatched shoes, that would like mess me up somehow. I ended up working out in the shoes that I wore there, which were these old grungy shoes. I didn't like run on the treadmill or anything. I did an elliptical. So that was my day. And I felt so, you feel like a complete idiot when you open up your gym bag and there it is, two mismatched shoes. And that was my day today. And I was not happy about it, but we made it through. If that's my biggest problem, I don't have many problems in this world. That is it for this edition of Sports Open Line. Don't go anywhere. Brad Young's got you for At Your Service. That starts after the news right here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.